This is Phil Farron. I am driving home. It's Valentine's Day today. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. All is well. All is well. We have had a little trouble this week. We've got a database server that is just a little bit unhappy, and we haven't really been able to figure out why yet. And the database administrators have been looking at it and looking at it, and last night it just decided to be unhappy at the beginning of cycle, which was very odd. And we do log entries continuously through cycle so we can see what's going on, where we are, all that kind of stuff. And man, we had a situation where between these two particular log entries, we're usually looking at seconds. It's just seconds. Last night, it was 37 minutes, so nobody was sure what was going on, so that was a little exciting. Thankfully, once we got through that spot, then everything got happy. So, it's fun. Anyway, so all is well. You know, we didn't really find out what the problem was. All we know is that right now, there seems to be a lot of, it's called I.O., things happening. And when those I.O. things start happening, then performance gets a little bit unpredictable. So, you know, you don't have to have too many things going from 15 seconds to 37 minutes where you are not going to get done what you need to get done. At least not overnight. So we'll see, you know, step at a time. We'll see. Can't fix it till it's broke, I usually say. Can't fix it till it's broke. And we know that something's going on, but it's just trying to nail down exactly what is going on. I mean, we do have a lot of data that we are working with at this point. Because we have granular data back to 2005 in one of our, actually in a couple of our different systems. And that means, for instance, that there are 77 million records in one particular table called the fact table. But this little hiccup was well before we crossed over to start pushing data in that. So it's not, it's just weird. It's just weird. The writing is going fine. I'm at that point where I'm supposed to be catching all the balls that I threw up into the air for the beginning of all of this adventure. And, you know, that seems to be going fine. I still don't have some stuff resolved. But step at a time, you know, you just keep writing and magically things start resolving themselves. So I'm getting close now. Theoretically, I'm 2.5 weeks out of having this book roughed in. I think we're going to be fine. You know, it feels like it's about right. But you never know till you get it on the page. So we'll see. Step at a time. And, you know, Jesus will help us with this other situation overnight. If we just stop running somewhere, then we'll just pray that we'll start running. So, fun stuff. All is well. I've been watching, I'm not doing the podcast on this today, but I've been watching a series on Netflix that was originally on National Geographic called One Strange Rock. And it is, I'm just letting somebody in here. It is narrated by Will Smith, but then it's also, has 7 different astronauts, I think, who had over 1,000 days in space at the space station and other places. And they just talk about the Earth and how the Earth came to be and life. And it really has been very, very interesting. And one of the things that just makes me smile is they go through all these explanations about what we know now about how complex life is here on Earth and what it took to get us to this point. And several times they're just like, yeah, it's just impossible. It's just, you know, impossible that this stuff happened, and yet here we are. Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. It's just impossible that it happened all by itself. Anyway, so it's interesting. It's interesting. Family's good. My daughter had a little sinus infection, but she went to the doctor and got some antibiotics. We're getting that done. The church is having 28 days of fasting where everybody's doing whatever kind of fasting they want. Our pastor said specifically he was not recommending that we fast for all 28 days, but just to choose something. In fact, they've been sending out every day. They've been sending out a link to the website where there's a devotional and then specific things that we're praying for every day. So my wrist just buzzed and the link just came out. So I'll look at that at some point before tomorrow or during tomorrow or something. So all is well there. We're good. What else? Oh, so as part of that, this is a little tidbit. As part of that, I may have mentioned that I was thinking, you know, I already fast on Wednesdays. That wouldn't be much of a sacrifice. So I've been fasting on Mondays as well, too. And man, it's funny. It is funny. I was talking to one of my friends at Walmart on Friday, and we were talking about intermittent fasting and fasting, and she was saying, yeah, she said, you know, when I fast and then I exercise real hard, she said, I get so hungry. I said, I know. She said, it's just like, I have a hamburger. And for me, it's been so funny because it's turned into smoked beef sausage. Want some smoked beef sausage? Yeah, that stuff's not good for me. I finally looked it up today, had a little break, and I looked it up because I wanted to know just how bad is this smoked beef sausage. And of course, it's all prepared, and it's got nitrates in it. It's got like a... So, I had actually bought it twice and just consumed it within like a day, the whole thing. But I gotta stop doing that. That's not good. Oh, it's not good. So I gotta find something else. Maybe get some chicken. Although that chicken is processed. I don't know. You know, it's like I was talking to my friend about it. If somebody would just give me a list. Just give me a list of the things that I could eat. I would just eat that. Anyways, all is well. We are blessed. We are so blessed. We are blessed. All is well. I came across a podcast this week, one of Joe Rogan's podcasts, which are fun. They're live, so he just sits there and talks to people, and there is usually a lot of language in the podcast, so you gotta, you know, do that. But he was doing a podcast with Sam Harris, and I just started smiling because Sam Harris, of course, is a materialistic atheist. He's one of the new atheists that believes we should just abandon all religion, that we should just pitch it all, and that we should build a new morality that's just based on reason. That's their pitch. And Sam Harris is also fairly famous for making the big statement that he doesn't believe there's any such thing as free will, which is a bit problematic when you really start unpacking it, because why would anybody campaign for any sort of a belief system if there is no such thing as free will? He has since, as he talked about in this Joe Rogan podcast, sort of modified, at least to my recollection, modified that position a little bit. He now talks about how we are open systems, how we are subject to much influence, and I would imagine that is in part because he has to have some justification for the fact that he's going around trying to change people's minds. And of course, if there's no free will, then what's the point of going around trying to change people's minds? But we'll get to that in a minute. But what really got me started on this particular podcast was, and mind you, this podcast is like 2 hours and 41 minutes long or so. I mean, it's almost 3 hours. And at about the 50-minute mark, at about the 49-minute mark, they started talking about Liam Neeson and an admission that Liam Neeson had made, for which, of course, now he's being excoriated and being told and being proclaimed that he should never do a movie again, and we should shun him, and he should be humiliated, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And he should be destroyed. We've talked about the fact that every religious system of thought goes through these inquisitions, they go through these witch hunts, they go through these crusades, and what we're seeing really now in the whole identity politics thing is that we're seeing this religious system of thought, because that's what it is, establishing themselves as being powerful enough to conduct their witch hunts and inquisitions and crusades. So that's fine. You know, I think we should all be kind and gracious and merciful and realize that they're going to go through this for a while, and some people are going to be destroyed, and some people are going to be decimated, and some people are going to be falsely accused, and eventually it'll all settle down. And once it all settles down, you know, we can smile and say, yeah, well, okay, we understand. You know, we went through that too. So what got me interested in this is that Sam Harris was talking about Liam Neeson, and the story is that apparently Liam Neeson, some years ago, I don't know how long ago, had a friend who was raped, and there was this murderous state of mind that he devolved into, and he decided he was just going to go out looking for trouble. He was going to carry a club, small little, like a billy club with him, and he was going to go out looking for trouble. And anyone who happened to be of the same ethnicity as the person who raped his friend, he was going to try to kill him. Okay, this is not good. This is not good. And when Liam Neeson is telling this story, he's not recommending this behavior. And Sam Harris is quite correct in pointing out that Liam Neeson was horrified by this state of mind, and he recovered from that. And Sam Harris quite correctly said, you know, we should be able to talk about these things. He said, because this state of mind is clearly as toxic as it gets. And then Sam Harris said, we need to figure out how to talk about people, how they can redeem themselves. That's when my ears peaked up. Oh, redemption. We're gonna start talking about redemption. And then he went on to talk about, they got started talking about the whole Covington Catholic high school thing, and we spent, you know, a couple of different podcasts talking about that. And he actually said he was on the outside of that because he recently got off Twitter, and so he only saw it on the tail end of it. And he said there were people that were just losing their minds over this. He said there was some people that then walked things back, and he was specifically talking about a journalist, a tech journalist, named Kara Swisher, whom he said has said unkind things about him in the past. And he said she came out with an apology and walked back her reactions. And he said, I thought that was a really good thing in this theme of redemption. So he said, I then reached out to her and basically said, hey, good job. You know, thank you for stepping up. And then he said the pain came. The people just started dumping on him. And he had never said anything about the original Covington thing. But it doesn't really matter because it's all tribalism at this point, especially on Twitter. It's all tribalism. And over and over and over, they were talking about the fact that Twitter is the problem on this. Social media is the problem. And I'm just listening to myself shaking my head to this whole discussion. And so they're wrestling on this podcast. They're wrestling with, you know, what is going on out here and how do we get from point A to point B? And if someone makes a mistake, you know, how can they get back from that? What is the path back? What could conceivably work to rehabilitate someone's career on the other side? He said, you've got on the other side murderers who are being let out, and these same identity politics people are celebrating the fact that they've been reformed. Murderers, been reformed, that's great. But if someone says the wrong thing, oh, that's it, they're irredeemable. We need to just make sure they're destroyed, you know. So this goes on. And so then Sam Harrison starts talking about, at about an hour and 30 minutes, he starts talking about all there needs to be is a transparent account of how you were different. The spirit of the time, and especially to the left, is to never accept any of that. It is they take the most cynical possible interpretation. We have to figure out, and he said, we just need some sort of recovery desk. Okay, so I'm listening to this go, And then Joe Rogan knows that Sam's Harris, how Sam Harris feels about free will, and so then he brings that up, and you know Sam Harris talks about how the concept of free will is flawed, you know, that who a person is has brought, there's really a lot about how they got there and their background and all that kind of stuff, and you need to understand that. And, you know, there's this top-down thing, and you're open to influences of culture. And so this is where I thought, oh, okay, he's starting to rock that back a little bit. Open to influences of culture and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and he talks about there are neural problems that can cause people to, you know, to be violent. I'm getting my mail, one moment. To be violent, and we need to have a sense of these people, and we need to try to take that into account when we're talking about them, etc., etc. You know, anyways. Okay, so then we get into about 2 hours and 10 minutes of all of this, and this is when I bust out laughing, because Sam Harris is really big into meditation. Okay, that's great. You know, meditation all by itself, doesn't matter what your religious, it's great. Mindfulness is a great thing. It's great to be mindful. And he said, you know, you can actually learn that when you feel sudden anger, you can pay attention to that. You can notice the thoughts. You can let that go. And you can just become interested in anger as a response. But until you can be mindful and get, that's my, you hear the buzz. Yeah. Okay, that is the air compressor for the shocks in the back. I've got a slow leak. It'll stop here in a minute. There we go. But until you can actually be mindful and get out of the thoughts and pay attention, that's difficult. He said, some people stay angry for hours. He said, but if you can become aware of the anger, you know, you can, it can be a matter of seconds. And then it's a kind of superpower. You can just get off the ride. I see a tweet, then quote, I can decide how long I want to feel that way. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. That sounds an awful lot like free will to me. I can decide. So I can choose to influence myself. Okay. Anyway, so in all of this, what becomes very important to me, or very interesting to me in all of this, is when you take all of these pieces that Joe Rogan and that Sam Harris are struggling with, what they're ramping up to do with all of these pieces really is reinvent the way of Christ. That's what they're struggling to do. You know, they're reinventing the things that religion gives us. You know, Sam Harris just thinks religion is the most horrible thing that ever happened, and we just need to throw it all out. But the problem is they haven't yet recognized that, yes, there are abuses in religion. There's no question there are abuses in religion. Yes, people get on their high horses and they use religion as a club. Yes, yes, yes. Christianity too. Christianity too. But if you get down into the essence of what Christ taught, there are some really, really important things in there that are valuable from a societal standpoint, whether or not you actually ascribe to the fact there is a God. You just have these really important building blocks all by themselves. And it's fascinating to see someone like a Sam Harris, who absolutely does not believe in God, staunch atheist, etc., 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 and he's circling around these building blocks, and he's saying things, and he's proposing things that I look at and go, yeah, Jesus said that like 2,000 years ago. Okay, okay, yeah, we got that, yeah. We've got that piece. We've got that piece. We've got that piece. We've got that piece. You know, for instance, you have to get down to the beginning. So you really need to understand, if you are going to construct a society that's actually going to function, you have to understand what the nature of man is. And frankly, Sam Harris is right about a lot of what he is saying, even though I'd put a little separate twist on it. He is right about the fact that we have many influences in our lives that we are not aware of. But it's not really just the influences. It is the fodder that we give the flesh. And so if we're not paying attention, what the flesh can do is it can take our circumstances and can twist them to get us to behave in a certain way. And the reason I say it's the flesh and it's not the circumstances is because you can have people who come up in exactly the same circumstances, and yet some of them grow up to be moral, upstanding, dedicated, focused people, and others of them grow up to be murderers and rapists and everything else, and the circumstances are very similar. So it's those things certainly are feeding into a person's background, but there's something internally that's taking all those things and putting them together in such a way that they end up causing different types of behavior. And for me, this is the flesh and how much we give vent to the flesh and allow the flesh to run our lives, because all of us have influences that the flesh can take and turn to evil. And the only way those things don't get turned to evil is if we exercise our free will, like Sam Harris finally said, where he started talking about the fact that I can decide how long I'm going to feel that way. Because at the end of the day, the flesh can only lie to you. That's the only tool it has. It lies. It lies and it lies and it lies and it lies. And if you listen to that lie, then you will fall deeper into the flesh's embrace and there will be destruction. What Sam Harris is talking about that surge of anger, there's a lie underneath that surge of anger. And if you just step back and you say, wait a minute, and you just take a moment to try to figure out what that lie is, and then to realize that it is a lie, it's not true, that there are other things to become aware of in those situations, then he's right. That anger just evaporates. But becoming aware of that, mindful of it, whether you acknowledge the flesh or not, just become aware that you are angry and just stopping and telling yourself, why am I so, what? Boom. I mean, you can just really take care of anger fast. So once you have that as a foundation, which Paul talks very clearly about the flesh and the spirit in multiple places, talk very clearly that our flesh is at war with our spirit. Once you have that as a foundation, then you can look at others, as Sam Harris would like us to do, in much more compassion and say, you know, I have a flesh I'm struggling with as well. And when this person pops off, when Liam Neeson is just consumed by this lie the flesh is telling him, you know, you can look at that situation and, you know, say, you know, under other circumstances, I could be consumed by that as well. And so you're much more compassionate. Unfortunately, what Sam Harris has seen from religion over and over. Just a second. I have to go get rid of a cat. Cat, out. 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 I think I mentioned that when it was cold, my wife had compassion on a neighborhood cat and brought her in and gave her food. And now, of course, she is not leaving. So she waits outside our doors. And anytime we open a door, she tries to bolt in. It's like, ah, okay, great. So unfortunately, religious people oftentimes do not have their flesh under control. And so they become very judgmental and hypocritical. And people on the outside, they see this and go, ah, religion is bad, because that's the flesh. The flesh is telling them a lie that all religion is bad, and they're willing to listen to it. As opposed to kind of pulling things apart and saying, okay, what's the benefit here? What's the benefit in Christianity is that it teaches us that we have all gone astray, that we are all sinners, that we are all in need of help and redemption from God. And therefore, as we look at each other, we should treat each other with kindness and compassion. That then becomes the basis for love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And of course, Sam Harris is following right along that path. It's good when we, you know, can reach out to someone who dislikes us, who's been against us, and we can, you know, try to bridge that gap. Yes, it is. It's very good, Sam Harris. It's exactly what Jesus said. And yes, it's very good. So, you know, you're understanding that too. So when we understand that people fail, then Sam Harris is exactly right. We need a path to redemption. And there's never any perfect path to redemption. There never is. But you need some path to redemption if you're going to create a culture. Because if you don't have some path to redemption, then you end up in tribalism and you end up with blood feuds and you end up with the Hatfields and the McCoys. Well, you know, you did my kin wrong and so I'm coming for you. I mean, you end up with all that kind of stuff, and you can't get beyond a certain level of organization because you're ending up killing each other. So yes, we do need a path to redemption. Now, some might say that the path to redemption in Christianity is cheap. You know, that all you have to say is, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and you know, then ta-da, there's this magic that happens, and it's, you know. But any path to redemption that you choose is going to be fakeable by certain people. So some people are just going to fake it. That's the way it is. But that doesn't mean the path to redemption isn't important. So, you know, if the Sam Harrises of the world want to reject Christianity and its path of redemption forward for how we look at others and say, okay, well, we can accept this person back into our following here because, you know, they went down to the altar, they said the sinner's prayer, and they appear to be trying to live a Christian walk. You know, so the path to redemption, Sam Harris would like to say, well, all they have to do is just state how they are different now. But that's not really enough, because we've been down that path. So you not only have to state how you've been different, then day after day, you have to walk that out. From a societal standpoint. You know, I mean, from a righteousness legalistic standpoint, Christ died for all, and, you know, accepting Jesus Christ, blah, 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 whatever the standard line is there. So, yes, Sam Harris, we do need a path to redemption. That is absolutely true. We need to love our enemies. We need to do good to those, you know, who use us despitefully. We need to understand how there is this interaction between stuff in our past and how that can affect us with the flesh, and then how we can move forward and make better decisions and choose life instead of destruction, which, of course, Jesus talked about as well. But it's really interesting to me to hear Sam Harris again soften a little bit on what I thought was his positions about free will. Because when I heard him talk about free will before, it was just flat. No, there is no free will. Period. There's no free will. And he has since softened, I think, I haven't studied it that much, into this position of, well, we're all open systems and we can have different influences and yada, yada, yada. And when I was hearing him talk about that, I was like, yeah, we've been through that one too. That's called Calvinism versus Arminianism. So here we go. Calvinism versus Arminianism. Yep, we've been through that. So it's just really interesting to me. It's just really interesting to me to listen to people who have decided that we no longer need religion in our society, that we can just pitch God off to the side because there were so many abuses out there. We're just going to pitch it off to the side and we're going to go on, because now all of a sudden they're looking around them and those vehicles that that religious thought provided, understanding each other, ways forward to forgive, how to treat your enemies, you know, all those things that it provided as sort of default positions, if they're not there anymore, then what happens to society? And it ain't good. It is not good. And it will continue to not be good until we take another look and we start thinking, you know, this religion stuff, this, you know. Unfortunately, when this happened in the past, and this has happened in the past, everything's cyclical. When this happened in the past, people would actually turn around and often turn back to God and start praying, and there would be revivals, and then we'd get this instantiation of a morality back into the fabric of a given set, a given hierarchy, a given group of people. And then we'd ride on that for a while until someone got tired of the constraints, and then they'd throw it off, and then they'd realize, whoa, that was a bad idea, and then put it back in. What's interesting this time around, it's because of social media, everybody's got their own flavor of beliefs. And they all clump together and reinforce each other. And so that ability of a more permanent system to influence lives, I think, has been reduced because of Twitter. But I do not believe that Twitter and Facebook and all those things are the problem. I think the problem is the flesh. Because on Twitter, when people feel like they're a little more anonymous, the flesh convinces them that they can get away with more. And then it just becomes sport. And the people who get rewarded on social media, especially anonymous social media type environments, those people are the ones who are out at the fringe. And then the flesh starts pushing the people who aren't at the fringe and saying, look, they're getting more hits. They're getting more likes. They're getting more people mentions. They're getting more people. You need to go farther out there. And you just need, because no one's going to know who you are anyways. And the flesh can get a lot of traction on that. So, yeah, I mean, there are things in Twitter that give the flesh ammunition, that make it easier for the flesh to push people in ugly ways. But ultimately, the problem is not Twitter. And even if Twitter was not anonymous, ugliness would still come out because that's what happens on Facebook. And so now that we've decided we're stepping away from these things that Sam Harris now is espousing as things we need, redemption, love your enemy, understanding, you know, that we each are influenced by things, blah, blah, blah. Now that we are stepping away from those things and we're seeing what the effect is, the question for me is what comes next? This is going to be really, really interesting to see what comes next. Because tribalism only leads to destruction. That's guaranteed. Because tribalism is an activity of the flesh. Where do people find their redemption, if not within some sort of system of religious thought at a societal level? And it's going to be fascinating to see, especially with the pressures that are coming in the next 10 years. This is going to be interesting. You know, I would pray that we as the children of God would be salt and light, and that our example and our kindness and our generosity would be such that people would be attracted to that, and we would be able to communicate with them the benefits that there is in embracing Jesus Christ and living in his love and living in his kindness. I would hope that we step up to the plate and that we really put ourselves in the gap here of spreading his love and his kindness in the midst of the rise of this tribalism. Because if we don't, things are going to get a whole lot worse before they get better. But either way, we are his. We are with him. He is with us. We take things a step at a time. For instance, whatever happens tonight during cycle is what happens tonight during cycle. We take it a step at a time. If something goes south, we'll do our best to fix it. and then we'll move forward. Because he's with us. And he helps us. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.